Good morning. You're seeing me up here, and that means something special. That means that the Lewises are gone. So I'm in Brian's place this morning. They're away for the weekend. If you're a guest here, we're glad to have you. Good to see you. Hope you have a good time of worship, and we'd like to talk to you a little bit if you're willing. So hang out afterwards. That would be a very good thing. Coming up in 2 weeks, Operation Christmas Child is coming up. And that means on that day, we're going to have a short lesson, which I will be doing also, because short is what I do best. And then we will adjourn relatively early and go back and pack some boxes to send them off for Operation Christmas Child. There are three things we need to talk about today. And the first one I didn't want to talk about. The first one came up last Sunday night. And that's very, it changes things. It changes things a lot. I'm going to do this if you don't mind. How do we respond as Christians when the flags are flying at half-mast across the country? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to react to these things? It's hard. It's very difficult. We can become angry. That can be a response. It's not a good response. It's not the best. Hate for hate never leads to anything better. And it's unfortunate. So how do we respond? A couple of thoughts. Rather than encourage more hate, go the other direction. Don't be hateful yourself, but love. Love, because it goes against and counters hate. Remind yourself daily that it's not us and them. It's all us. We are all the same family. It's an attitude on how you think about these events. And then I would challenge you to take up a special ethic, an ethic of love. What does that mean, an ethic of love? Look to do something that's helpful. Don't hinder. Don't stop things that are going on, but look to do things that are helpful, very important. And that's become a popular meme on the internet. You see, look for the helpers whenever there's a disaster. Yeah, it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. And another thing to think about, if not take action on in any way, is just think about this. The values that we live out exceed the laws that we create. The kind of people that we are day by day exceed the laws. The laws cannot legislate evil. And that is unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And personally, on a one-to-one basis, I want you to be kinder to people than you have in the days gone by. That's something we can all do. I like the quote that I've seen that really helps that. It says, "Be the person your dog thinks you are." Be the person your dog thinks you are. That can be good. We are looking at Acts chapter 4. And it just happens that this week is the same week that we're doing the second contribution for DREI. And this passage fits perfectly because it talks about the first church, the first group of Christians meeting together, and they were doing the thing that we all need to do. That is to be generous, to have hearts that were generous. So let's read this passage. "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. A couple of things to note. The first part of the passage, we see one word that recurs two times, and I think it's important. The word power. How does power play out in this situation? First of all, we see with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Holy Spirit had been given, and they had power from the Holy Spirit to do the thing that they were supposed to do, and that is to testify. If they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to testify, guess what? We do too. Call on the Holy Spirit when you're talking to people. Let him work with you. Let him make a difference. The second thing that has to do with power. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that there were no needy persons among them. It took power for their generosity to show itself. They needed the power from God to help that to be a livable, workable thing for them. And because they embraced it, it was so powerful that there were no needy people. Everyone was taken care of. So what does it look like then to embrace generosity? Well, today we're going to have an opportunity to do one of those things, giving money, helping out another organization in this case. It also can be something simple like giving your time. Generosity can be done with time. Generosity can be done with skills. You don't want me building your house. There's a reason for that. I am not skilled there. But there are people who are, and I want them to be the ones building the house. The other thing that can happen is we can do something very simple called giving your energy, and that can come in many, many forms. Prayers, I think, are one of the best things you can do with your energy. Spend time focusing, meditating on God. Talk to God. Listen to God. Let the Bible speak to you through God. You can hear many amazing things that way. Let all of the things that you do, though, in any form, start with God. And then we see this interesting character show up here. I think this is the first time we meet Joseph, who we never see being called Joseph ever again after this passage. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. This passage is very interesting because we see a generous heart flowing among the Christians, and somebody who has one name gets given a moniker that he's going to carry the rest of his life. He is going to be that one son of encouragement, and he is generous with it. He is always encouraging. He's doing the thing that needs to be done. Wonderful thing. Is he doing this himself? I don't think so. My conclusion on this section of Scripture is this. Generosity is an outpouring of God's love through us. God is working through us, and that makes us willing and wanting to give. Willing and wanting to give. Now, we can't talk about this without hearing what Paul has to say, because you know Paul has a lot to say. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he concludes a long talk about giving that actually began in chapter 8. And he goes all through chapter 9. But he concludes it this way. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We are generous because God has affected us in the past, and God is affecting us now. One of the terms and phrases that we use today is the idea of pay it forward. Things have been done for me, especially when I was a lot younger, and they came out of nowhere. I had people invite me to stay over, give me a place to stay. I had people take me to dinners. I had people invite me to events that they were already full up, but they said, well, it's okay, we'll make room for you. Pay it forward, which means do the same for others. We have opportunities, all of us, to give in some way to people we see in need. How will you respond? And Paul talks and finishes his talk on generosity with just the idea of thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Yes, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I think that I would like to finish this section just by talking about this. Generosity begins and ends with God. It's because of God's generosity that we are who we are. God has made us the kind of people we are. God has given us redemption through his Son. God has given us all that we have in this place. We're very fortunate. In a first world country, we have most everything. God begins and gives. And that's the nature of God. But Paul reminds us that we need to continue thanking God for that indescribable gift. The indescribable gift, Jesus, his Son. Well, okay, I told you when we started that there were three things that we needed to do. The third thing is we're going to take up this second collection. This is going to be very specifically for disaster relief effort. And there's a video that we're going to watch while this takes place. So those of you who are going to be collecting the offering, if you would come forward, that would be a good thing. I would appreciate that. If you would just come here. And hopefully this video will start. I just want to caution you, we're not from the Midwest. And if you're not from the Midwest, you might not be familiar with the sirens that are used for tornado warnings. This video contains sirens for tornado warnings, so don't be too shocked when it happens. And Branson, it looks like you have to make it go. We have a prayer afterwards. So we're going to take up a collection now, if you would. Go ahead.
We've all been overwhelmed at the scene of destruction in the county and primarily in the city of Gatlinburg.
Cell phone video shows flames surrounding a driver evacuating the area of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, late Monday night. Fire threatened to block off the only road to safety.
Go, 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 go.
At one point, at least 30 structures in Gatlinburg were burning.
We're just now beginning to assess the loss of structures and the general conditions throughout the area.
High winds caused the Chimney 2 fire to descend on surrounding towns.
Now the Churches of Christ disaster relief effort is standing by, ready to send a truckload of equipment and supplies to those in need over in East Tennessee. And I mean mobilized, because they can be there within about 4 hours. They said they can have this truck packed and ready to go within the hour and on its way out to East Tennessee. So right here, they have cleaner with bleach, cleaning buckets, and these boxes are filled with food that can feed 300 families. We've got brooms, we've got wheelbarrows, everything that they would need potentially out there to at least start to rebuild.
As the bird that's passing the cares. We're here this morning to load 1,300 food boxes at Churches of Christ Disaster Relief Effort. Our purpose is to follow the example given to us in Acts 11, where it talks about disaster relief in the first century and about the famine and all the food being given by the brothers and sisters. That's what we're trying to do here.
Whether it's a flood, a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake, or a wildfire, when disaster strikes in the continental United States, the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief Effort is ready to respond. Truckloads of emergency food, water, and other supplies are sent to congregations for distribution to victims in the disaster areas.
I don't know how you go on. I mean, I'm sure you will, but I mean, look at this. I mean, there's not a wall.
So many struggling to try and pick up the pieces.
When you see the school, you know, just by looking at this building, there are victims inside that school.
Our facility here in Nashville at 410 Allied Drive, we have a little over 86,000 square feet of warehouse. Because of the contracts that we have with the many vendors that we buy from, we can stretch the donation dollar. We can buy, for every dollar that we receive, 3 to 4 times what you would buy at retail prices. This makes us very efficient in what we're sending out.
This is one of our food lockers, 3,000 square feet. It keeps our Hungry Man TV dinners inside here. And we ship these out in the latter stages of our assistance of the disaster victims. Once they're back in their homes and have a refrigerator and everything to store them, then they can use them and heat them up and eat them as they see fit.
We have approximately 200 to 300 volunteers here today. Before we're loading food boxes, we call over 600 people in the Nashville area. And with a 1 or 2 day notice, 300 or more will show up. That's what makes us successful, is our volunteers to do anything we need. Even our truck drivers are volunteers.
Well, help is on the way from Nashville to Florida residents still struggling in the wake of Hurricane Hermine. The Churches of Christ Disaster Relief Group has a truck on the road right now and is heading from Nashville to Perry, Florida. Help is on the way in the form of an 18-wheeler loaded with supplies.
In the tornado area, they don't need the bleach. But in a flooding area, they need the bleach to kill mold.
There is breaking news in an unfolding tragedy. In West Virginia, at least 20 people are now confirmed dead in a catastrophic flood disaster, the worst in 100 years.
These boxes and this relief stuff, because we were able to get it so quick, we were able to become a center for distribution in our community. I appreciate Disaster Relief's role in that, helping us to be able to do that. Just, I mean, it's overwhelming.
We have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of supplies prepackaged, ready to send out to a local congregation to turn over to your leadership so that you can help your neighbors that have been devastated by the disaster. We don't send the people. We leave the work up to your local congregation.
The winds have really picked up here on Long Island. The rain is pelting us. This is the same storm system that caused those deadly tornadoes down south, and it's already proving deadly for this part of the country as well.
High winds tonight battering the East Coast. A fast-moving nor'easter whipping gusts of up to 60 miles per hour, toppling streetlights in New Jersey, flinging trees into homes.
It brings to mind one congregation in Bayshore, New York, the Long Island Church of Christ. They had requests for over 100 Bible studies. That's what this is all about. It's another tool for the local church to reach out to the lost. Some people are most receptive to the gospel when they're down and out. This is one of those times.
It was a large tornado that tore through New Orleans East, destroying several homes.
That's when the roof went flying.
Cheryl McBride took cover in the bathtub.
As soon as I got in, stooped down, the roof came off, things started flying. I just asked Jesus to cover me, don't let me get hurt. And the next thing you know, here we are.
The tornado left a trail of destruction, ripping off roofs, toppling trees, and downing power lines.
You don't have to pass the hat to collect your money first. We've got the supplies ready for you. All you need to do is get in touch with us. Let us send them to your congregation. You go to work and save the lost.
Five men located throughout the United States are available to share the mission and purpose of the Churches of Christ disaster relief effort. Dwayne Castillo serves the northeastern part of the country. Ken Lowry is available for service in the southeast. Dennis McClintock provides information to the central states. Ken Leonard serves the south central part of the country. And Dale Lenge provides information to those in the west and northwest.
I'm Miguel Almaguer in Southern California, where the strongest storm to pummel this region in years brought record rainfall, mudslides, and a flood of water rescues.
Tonight, the destruction in Mississippi is overwhelming.
You can hear like glass shattering. You can hear the roof caving. I feel like I'm lucky, I'm blessed to be alive.
In 2 days, the path of destruction spreading over 550 miles.
And I thought we were gonna die last night.
Including through Polk County, Tennessee, where Jennifer Young, her husband, and two sons barely escaped.
Screamed at my husband saying, there's a tornado coming, there's a tornado coming. Get the kids, grab the kids.
Wind just came out of nowhere and just blew it.
17,000 acres here burned. Jerry Morgan lost all her mother's keepsakes, including photos, treasures that took on extra meaning after her mom died recently from cancer.
All of her china, all of her silverware.
I want to thank you, first of all, for being willing to contribute. Doing that reflects a lot of who you are as a person, where your heart is in relationship to God, and that's very important. Thank you so much for the contribution, and as we think about that, I would like us to go in prayer for the use of those funds. Would you join me? Dear Lord God and loving Father, thank you so much for the opportunities that you give to us. Today we've taken the opportunity to help out an organization, Father, that we are aware does good work in the times of disaster, which is oftentimes when we know that you can get to people's hearts. We thank you for the contribution, for the people that have contributed, and for the funds and how they will be used. We ask you to bless those people who are going to distribute all of these things, and also bless those who receive from this organization. We thank you so much for people who run a disaster relief effort and just help them to always have the things that they need, the facilities that they need, the people that they need to get where they need to go. Father, when disasters show up in our own lives, help us to think clearly and properly. Help us, Father, to understand that we can get through things that we don't think we can. We thank you, Father, for blessing us and for strengthening us. And especially, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, because he is the pivot point for all these things. All things happen through him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I didn't talk a lot about salvation, about Jesus. But boy, did the songs take us there, didn't they? Wow, what a great collection of songs this morning. The invitation, though, is open for you. You are invited, if you want to come forward. If you have concerns, you want us to pray about those, now is a great time to come forward and talk about those. We will bring them before God. If you're thinking about becoming a Christian, now is a good time to admit that as well. And if you want to talk to somebody about it, we will be willing to take that. Will you stand this morning as we sing?